that Jesus brought about, the salvation which is a cooperation of man with God's initiative. Let us reflect on this episode. 10 lepers healed by Jesus, and then only one of these 10 came back to thank Jesus for that miracle. First of all, we say that Jesus is working out a miracle. This is his own initiative. Only God can perform a miracle. And Jesus is God. He is making this miraculous healing of these 10 lepers. After being healed, only one came back. And this one man who came back was a Samaritan. This is very meaningful. The Samaritan means that he was not a Jew. So he was considered by the Jews a pagan, because Samaria was considered a pagan territory. Only a pagan man actually came back to say thank you to Jesus. While he came back, this is a very important movement, spiritual movement, happening in this person's life. The miracle was accomplished by the Lord. But this man, while he saw himself cured, the grace was working in his soul. The grace was enkindling his faith to respond to Jesus. And because of this initial, but a real faith, the man, only one, by cooperating with grace, he came back and said thank you to Jesus. But this way to thank our Lord is very also significant. We have to notice the actions, because they speak a lot. They are to be taken into account for our own faith. The Samaritan came back, and then he was praising God. We read this man was praising God, and then he was praising at the top of his voice, and threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. So he was, by that initial but real faith in Jesus, he acknowledged our Lord as the Lord, as the Messiah sent, the only one who could work out a miracle for him. So he acknowledged Jesus as God. And the fact that he threw himself to Jesus' feet is saying that that man was adoring God. Adoring and then being one with our Lord, to the point of hearing from Jesus this beautiful word, "Now stand up and go your way. Your faith has saved you." There is a faith. Jesus is on his turn now, acknowledging the faith of this man. Only one man, a pagan, was saved by the faith. He was cured, but he was saved. So we have 10 lepers who were cured, but only one was saved. Salvation is not just a healing of our body. Salvation is the way we come to be one with our Lord. We come to encounter our Lord in our lives. And by believing in him, we stick to his person. We become one with Jesus. And because of this unity, by grace and charity, we are made partakers of eternal life. We can share in God's eternal life. And this life begins now and has its completion in heaven forever. Miraculous healing led to salvation only for one person, because this person was cooperating with God. Salvation is not automatic. It requires our own free will, our own assent to God's grace. So faith is what we have to do in order to respond. And faith leads to adoration, to kneel down before the mystery, before Christ, the person of our Lord, to adore Him and to be one with Him. Now the question is, does this Holy Gospel say something to us, to our Christian life? Of course it does. And what? This Holy Gospel is significant because we can do something like, we have to, when? When are we to thank Jesus? When can we thank our Lord for the grace to be saved, to have been saved? The moment when we thank Jesus is right now, the Holy Mass. The Holy Mass is the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. The Holy Mass is a way we thank God. But actually, the Holy Mass is Jesus Himself thanking the Father for giving Him the body, the human nature, to offer up Himself as a sacrifice in order to cure us, our leprosy. We have been cured by Christ. We have been saved from eternal death, and we can have in His sacrifice of salvation eternal life. If we become, during the Mass, one soul with our Lord, we thank God the Father, and we are saved. We receive this salvation. The Mass is the moment. But within the Holy Mass, there is another very particular moment when we become one spirit with the Lord. We become one soul with the Lord. This is the moment of Holy Communion that we receive in the grace without any mortal sin. As we receive Holy Communion, we become partakers of Jesus' eternal life, of Jesus' divine life, and this is eternal life. We become one with Him. We are admitted to share in this eternal life, life which is divine, the life of Christ poured over to us in the baptism, but specifically in this sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, received under the form of Holy Communion. A Holy Communion. Communion. A union in common. We become one with Jesus. And now let me make a reference to the altar rails we just put in. You have seen these altar rails. What's the meaning of the altar rails? Of course, there is, first of all, a very practical meaning. You remember that we used to have some ropes in order to fence the sanctuary off and to prevent strangers from going into the sanctuary, the most sacred place in the church. But we have now a permanent barrier, very significant, to tell everyone, this is a very sacred area where there is the Holy of Holies, Jesus, in the tabernacle. Not everyone is allowed to go into the sanctuary, but Christ only. And the priest, insofar as he is Christ, he says, this is my body, not this is the body of Christ. It is Christ Himself saying, this is my body. I absolve you, Christ. I absolve you from your sins. But this is, the altar rails have also a very symbolic meaning. This practical reason has also its very expressive symbolism. The symbolism is about marking a very precise boundary between this most sacred place and the nave of the church, and we could say our daily life. There is a barrier between sacred and profane, between God and our daily life. Only when we come into the liturgy, especially when we come to this precious moment to become one soul with the Lord, we leave the daily life behind as we approach the railings and we receive the Holy of Holies, our Lord. We come to share in this most sacred area, which leads us into a new dimension, the dimension of eternity already laid out in this life. Our daily life has a little change because we can have, we can taste now what is life eternal one day. And in this way, we can really imitate the leper of the gospel who was healed and came back to thank the Lord. What did he do? He kneeled down. He threw himself to Jesus' feet to thank him. This is the same action we do, possibly, of course. As we come to the railings, we kneel down before the presence of the Lord. We receive that sacred body, blood, soul, and divinity, and then we hear the word of our Lord, stand up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. This is the word after receiving Holy Communion. So, my dear parishioners, the altar railings, pulpit, are not things, liturgical items to bring us back in time in the 40s, 50s before Vatican II. No. Liturgy is not about going back or forward. It is about expressing our faith as our fathers have always done since the very beginning of Christianity. This is what we would like to do in order to believe in Christ, to stick to the gospel, and to enter into this new dimension of life, marked out precisely also by this symbolism, by this liturgical element. So please reflect carefully on this so that everyone, by God's grace, can grow in holiness, grow in the Catholic faith in order to be a proud Catholic and to save, or to contribute to save society and mankind too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.